is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And we really are watching as a witness and very current events that are happening. We've been talking last week and this week about Iran. We're going to look at their place in Bible prophecy. And we are looking at the very fact that they are going online with a nuclear reactor at Bushehr. The 21st of August, Russia, as an ally to Iran, began pouring fuel into their Bushehr nuclear reactor, and they are becoming a nuclear power. So radicals, crazy radicals. Ahmadinejad is one of the 12ers, supposedly 12 people in the earth, who can bring about events that would bring the Mahdi, the Messiah, so to speak, of the Shia Muslims. They believe that when he comes, there'll be a great chaos in the earth, a great war, and that there are certain people on the earth who can bring that about. Ahmadinejad would like nothing better than to have everything in flames so that his Mahdi could come. Now, as we know, the United States brought pressure upon Israel and told them that they really didn't have to bomb Iran by last Saturday, but that they could wait even another year. So does Israel buy that? Well, we'll see. I picked off some things off the internet today to read you some items. This first one comes from Arutz Sheva, or it's also IsraelNationalNews.com. You can find it by ARUTZ7 or INN.com. And they announce that siren tests will be held Wednesday. The Home Front Command will conduct 2 siren tests on Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. Sirens will go off in all towns north of Hadera, except certain ones it names. At 12 p.m., sirens will be sounded in towns in Judea and Samaria north of Ariel. So they're testing out their alert system, testing out their sirens, and I believe that means that they're on a footing, you know, to do so. Now, this is from Debka File, D-E-B-K-A File. And you can get a lot of interesting things there. It seems like Devka is kind of like a little spy place ahead of action. And they put up this article today. Iran guards chief secretly oversees war plans in Damascus. Iranian Revolutionary Guards chief, General Jafari, who rarely leaves his country, paid a secret visit to Damascus a few hours before Tehran launched its first nuclear reactor at Bushehr Saturday, August 21st. With him were top Al-Quds Brigade's commanders in Lebanon, Iraq, and the Palestinian territories. Now we'll define some terms here. Tehran is, of course, the capital of Iran. Al-Quds is the Arabic name for Jerusalem. So this man, General Jafari, who is the head of Iranians' Revolutionary Guards. They're their top crack soldiers. He never leaves his home, but he went to visit Damascus. Damascus is the capital of Syria. And with him were top Al-Quds Brigade's commanders in Lebanon, Iraq, and the Palestinian territories. The group stayed only long enough to confer with Syrian President Assad and his military and intelligence chiefs on 3 topics. Number 1, the role Syria and Hezbollah will play in a potential Iranian military reprisal to a possible American or Israeli strike on its nuclear sites. This guy never leaves home. He went down there to Damascus to find out what Syria and the Hezbollah is a terrorist group that operates out of southern Lebanon, and they're funded entirely by Iran. It means the party of Allah, Hezbollah, the party of Allah. And so he wanted to know what the Syria and Hezbollah would do in case Israel or the U.S. strikes Iran. Number 2, these are things that they discussed. The probable repercussions of an Iranian decision to use Hezbollah or pro-Iranian terrorists as proxies for a preemptive strike or strikes against Israel. In other words, what if we strike first? Would Hezbollah help us? And Syria, before Israel can strike. And number three, they discussed how Syria can help discourage the Persian Gulf and Saudi Arabia from their willingness to support a U.S. or Israel attack on Iran with bases, intelligence assets, and other means. Of course, they wanted to know how they could discourage the Saudis. The Saudis are Sunni Muslims. The Shia consider themselves the height of the Muslim world, even though they're the great majority. 90% of the Muslim world is Sunni. Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden are Sunni. But the Shia don't like them. And we can't go into all the reasons why, but it has to do with who are the real, true, pure Muslims. And so they wanted to know how they could discourage the Gulfs, of course, going into Persian Gulf, the Straits of Hormuz, and Saudi Arabia. Now they wanted to discuss that. The importance and urgency of this discussion is attested to by the Iranian Guard Chief's Supreme Commander having made his trip outside Iran. This is the first one in many years. It was one of the red lights abounding of late that instilled in Israeli Defense Minister Ehud Barak a sense of urgency for a strategic response to the Bushehr startup. There was a great discussion in Israel over who's going to be the next chief of staff, you know, the number one soldier. And they had been talking that back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, but because Gabi Ashkenazi was about to retire. So the defense minister, Ehud Barak, who used to be the prime minister of Israel, quickly put in another man, General Gallant. And according to this, this says, this isn't, by them putting in this new man, by Barak putting in a new man, this sends a message to Tehran, the new chief of staff. Israel's defensive posture and self-restraint, as practiced by the former chief of staff, General Ashkenazi, was about to change. Iran may run into a different response if it makes good on its threats of aggression and the flurry of war preparations that are orchestrating around Israel's border. The incoming IDF chief of staff, General Gallant, commanded the 2009 CAS lead operation against Hamas in Gaza. And he subscribes to an offensive, proactive military approach in contrast to the dovish Ashkenazi. Although he formally takes the reins next February, Ashkenazi may well step down before his term is up and make way for his hawkish successor. So, this adds to the war saber rattling and all the things that are going on in the Middle East. Here's another item I thought was very interesting from Arut Sheva again. Sudan seeks to build a nuclear plant. They tested the waters. Is the U.S., is Israel going to do anything about Iran going online with a nuclear facility? And they judged that they were not. So Sudan then is planning to its own national atomic agency with the objective of building a large nuclear power plant, which they say is for peaceful reasons. Well, this has the effect of unleashing throughout all the Arabic Islamic world and African Islamic world, we too, we want to be nuclear powers. And some of them have the money to do it. So, praise the Lord, again, it looks like one thing will save America, an awakening to God. One thing will avail for Israel and the nations, an awakening to God. Here is an item, thousands of storks flying over Israel. When we go later on this week to Ezekiel 38 and 39, I'm going to bring that item out and read to you and show you how it. And also when we go to Ezekiel 38 and 39, And we're going to do that and look at them in Bible prophecy. Some strange things have been happening around that Bushehr reactor. And things that the Iranians didn't plan to happen. But thank God, the one who watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. And we're going to look at some of these things and how they fit into Bible prophecy. Iran, their general, their supreme military advisor, says that, and this is from the Jerusalem Post today, and today is August 24th. Their supreme leader's military advisor says Islamic regime's response to possible attack on the reactor would be all out, even though they think that it is unwise for the U.S. to do so. Iran has announced that it too is going to build more nuclear plants, and they have announced that they have built a drone, and that's an unmanned vehicle that could carry 4 warheads. Ahmadinejad announced Sunday, that's the day after, you know, they started going online nuclear, an unmanned bomber aircraft, which he calls an ambassador of death to Iran's enemies. Speaking to a group of officials, Ahmadinejad said the jet, as well as being an ambassador of death for the enemies of humanity, has a main message of peace and friendship. I don't know how you get that, but anyway, peace and friendship. If they are attacked, Ahmadinejad said, the scope of Iran's reaction will include the entire earth. We also tell you, the West, that all of our options are on the table. So we have all the saber rattling. We have everything going on in this earth that the Bible says will be happening in the last days. Aren't we glad for the Bible? Aren't we thankful for the Bible? And so we're going to be looking at Iran in the Bible, and we are going to be looking at its place in Bible prophecy, because Jesus told us to watch these nations. And one of the nations we're to watch is Iran. So we're going to be looking at, especially tomorrow and the rest of the week. Now, you can get from us a book by Dr. Lester Jihad. I helped him write this book. It's called Jihad, Time Bomb in the Middle East. He wrote it back during the time when Iran had captured our embassy workers and held them 444 days. You can get that from us by calling 1-800-972-3447. And just asking for Jihad by Lester Sumrall, J-I-H-A-D. We also invite you to come online, billybrim.org. If you happen to miss any of this week's, or you wanted to listen again to our radio broadcast last week and this week on Iran, you can find it there in the radio archives. I'm also getting ready to write a letter, and I think I'm going to have it posted about some of the things I shared with you about the 40 days God spoke to me, which will end on September 30th. So one thing I see about it, God is mobilizing his prayer force. He told me years ago, as the United States raised up an air force, I am going to raise up a prayer force. Thank God he's doing it. We can count on you. Shalom, shalom.